This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Joe. Key markets are down, including the Dow Jones, S&P, FTSE, as well as Nikkei. What's moving these markets?
I think there's a general recognition that there's a growth scare globally. The numbers out of China continue to be weak, although I think China's going to stabilize. So, and I think there's also some fears about the Fed raising rates in December. And then I also think it's profit-taking. I think there's some year-end profit-taking being taking place right now for tech.
The U.S. job numbers are out. What would be the sentiment on domestic growth in the U.S.?
I think when you strip out, you know, adjust for inventories, the trade, exports, minus imports, the U.S. economy, final demand is growing around 3% on an annualized basis. The consumer's starting to feel better about spending, their incomes, their job security. So in general, I think we're going to see a good retail Christmas season in the United States. And I do think that when we continue in 2016, it's going to be more about consumption-led growth.
Do you think the U.S. dollar will continue its strengthening further, or would the U.S. Sort of pair itself with some of the major currencies in the world?
No, unfortunately, I think the dollar does become stronger. And I say unfortunately because that'll be a headwind for exports and, you know, large-cap earnings. But I'm not looking for the dollar to become too strong or to move too fast. That's the key. So I do see parity on the euro by, say, mid-2016, if not a little sooner. And I also expect the yen to weaken more against the dollar. And the emerging market universe, more dollar strength against most major currencies in the emerging market.
The Europe is actually bracing for some key measures. The European Central Bank has already made plenty of statements on this. How do you think this will impact the markets?
Well, I mean, that's, you see that clearly in the dollar, stronger dollar, weaker euro. But I think the key with the eurozone, the euro area, is that lower oil prices, weaker currency, more quantitative easing, you're going to see a much improved, I think, growth backdrop in the European Union next year. That's going to be very important for global growth. It'll be good for a lot of emerging markets. It won't substitute for China, but it'll help stabilize global growth and also kind of accelerate it. So I think we're bottoming out when it comes to the global trough in weak growth, and we're going to start to see an acceleration in global growth going into 2016.
Do you think Greece will feature prominently in these closing stages of the year?
I hope not. Greece, there's still some work to be done when it comes to the debt rescheduling or making some payments for the IMF. I really don't think there's going to be any surprises out of Greece. The bigger issue for Europe, of course, is the migrants, the refugees from North Africa and the Middle East. How do they handle this crisis before winter, before it gets really cold? And will that give a boost? I think it will give a boost into near-term growth.
Some of the commodity prices have taken a hit the whole year, copper prices, for instance, and other metals as well. Do you think this will change towards the end of the year, perhaps a surge in demand for last-minute industrial needs?
No, I really don't. I do think we're still in this period where we're adjusting to too much supply and not enough demand. So I think we're working down. We're going to decrease capacity. There's a lot of inventory when it comes to oil, other commodities. So I'm not looking for... I'm looking for continued weakness in the commodity complex, really into early part of 2016. We see clearly that Europe is accelerating with growth, China, the U.S., and also with supply constraints. I'm more bullish on commodities, say, by April, May, spring of 2016. I think we get firmer prices by then.
Do you think that there are other sectors that we need to keep an eye and look out for towards the end of the year?
At the end of the year, I mean, the biggest issue in the United States is financials. They've had a good run lately on the expectation that the Fed is going to raise rates. Consumer-led stocks are doing well, housing, autos, consumer discretionary. So I think that's going to continue. I would stick with the winners for now. We still like technology, a tremendous amount of upside for technology because of the more internet connectivity globally, because of the social media. So I see more upside there as well. Energy is a tough call. We're overweight energy, but it's a very difficult call. There's a lot of challenges yet to be worked out.
Alibaba, it's nice that you mentioned technology. Alibaba just closed massive amount of sales a few days ago. Do you think this will actually continue the trend going forward with consumer sales in the technology space?
I do. I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, smartphones, mobility when it comes to purchases. And the Alibaba, the single day's internet sales, over $14 billion. That gives you an idea of the technology and kind of what you could do with e-retailing. It also speaks volumes about the Chinese consumer. So, you know, I do think China's going to settle down in that growth in that 5 to 6% range. And their economy is starting to shift towards more consumption and away from investment. And that's a very positive development for the world economy.
Very quickly, Joe, when you say that you're overweight on energy, what is the likelihood of this going to be resolved soon? There's going to be an overweight of supply. Saudi is not cutting back on their supply, and Russia is now butting in. Any notion of this energy crisis going to be resolved soon?
Well, we're looking for oil prices to stabilize around $50, $55 in that range. We don't see it going to 20 like some on Wall Street, but we still have to continue to work down the excess capacity. And so the biggest risk here is our credit event, some distressed assets in the energy patch. But there's a lot of capital out there looking for distressed assets, so I don't think it becomes a big issue for the markets here. Right now, we like the big integrated oil companies because they have a lot of cash, a lot of dividends. They're geopolitical hedges as well. So we like the oil service drillers. They will come back. So this is a very cyclical industry. And when you've had the big move down in 2015, that usually sets up for better 2016 and 2017.
Thank you, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at US Trust BOA Private Wealth Management in New York City.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.